1 Peter chapter 1. And we are going to be using our Bibles this evening, so I have a lot of notes right here. I will not be long this evening, but if you listen fast, as preachers say, I will preach fast. But I'm just excited about this message that God would have for us tonight, and I pray that it will be an encouragement and a blessing to you. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 15. The Bible says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written," verse number 16, "because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." It's pretty clear in this passage that we see that as Christians, we have a call to be holy. You see, living for Christ and being holy is truly an individual decision. But being called to be holy is a result of something that has already happened in our hearts already. You see, when we receive Jesus Christ and we begin that relationship with him, just like Brother McCary was talking about this morning, once we begin that relationship with Christ, then we can have that fellowship with Christ. And alongside that relationship with Christ comes a call to be holy. This evening, we are going to look at another area that we should be rooted in, and we should be rooted in our holiness. And we are going to study a character who we are going to kind of get an example from, but not in a good way. The past couple of weeks, we've been looking at examples of Paul, who was a witness, and Josiah, who was faithful. We've been going through characters who exemplified what it meant to be a Christian. But this evening, we are going to look at a character, a man, who started out very well, but then at the end of his life, he did not have a very good testimony for Christ. We are going to turn to Genesis, but before we get there, let's define what being holy and define what holiness is. The word holy comes from two Greek words, hagios and hagnos, which means to be pure, clean, sacred. And we understand that God is holy. In Isaiah chapter 6, we read a chapter how Isaiah saw a vision. And he saw the throne of God, he saw the holiness of God, and once he saw how holy God is, he saw how wicked and unclean he was. You see, in that passage, we see that Isaiah saw how holy God was, and the only response that he had was to say in verse number 8, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And I'll just step to the side and say that it is because of this very thing that it is useless to compare ourselves to each other. The only person that we should be comparing ourselves is to Christ. Because we see how holy he is, then we can understand, you know what? There's nothing good about me. There's nothing great about what I do or what I can do except it be through Christ. When we set our eyes on the one who died for us, the one who saved us, the one who is offering us the free gift of salvation, then we realize that, you know what, we are unworthy of it. We are unclean, and we do not deserve the grace and the mercy that God has given us. And 1 Peter also talks about, in 1 Peter chapter 2, how that we are a chosen generation, a priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. You see, God takes us from darkness and he places us into light once we receive Jesus Christ. The Bible says, you know, the truth that shall set us free, free from the chains, free from the darkness that blinded us for so long. You see, when God removed us from darkness to light, there was a change inside of us. And that's what it means to be holy. It means to be set apart in every aspect of our lives. But you see, we can never be 100% holy. Only God can be totally and completely holy. Romans 3:23, we are all sinners. But we should strive to be more like Christ. We should strive to be clean. We should strive to be more Christ-like. And here is where we are going to introduce our character for this evening. Turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. Genesis, chapter number 13. And we are going to be introduced to a man who many of us would think that he had the correct beginning, growing up in a Christian home, you might say. He knew about God. He knew about what he was supposed to do. He is called a righteous man. But in Genesis chapter 13, we are going to look at a man named Lot. Lot was the nephew of Abraham, and he was taken under his wing after his father passed away. Abraham and Lot were together, and they were very close. But in Genesis chapter 13, verse number 5, we see the Bible says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled them in the land." You see, God had blessed both of these men so much, I would assume because they were obeying God. They were doing what God had called them to do. And God blessed them, and they were very prosperous to the point that the area could not contain both of them. So they decide to separate. And we are, as I mentioned, we are going to use our Bibles this evening, but very quickly so that we can learn how to be rooted in our holiness, so that we can learn to be set apart for God, we are going to notice three observations about Lot. First of all, look what it says in verse number 10. The Bible says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other." First of all, I want you to notice his decision. You see, when they decided to separate Abraham and Lot, Lot looked at the wellness of the land. He looked at, you know, where could it benefit him? He looked at the waters, he looked at the grass, and he made a decision with his eyes and not his heart. He looked at the best that he could see from his eyes, from where he could go and live with his livestock and everything that he had. But he failed to realize that this decision would later lead to a destruction, in which we are going to find out later this evening. In verse number 12, I want you to notice the direction that he went. Verse number 12 says, "Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom." You see, he pitched his tent towards Sodom is what the Bible says. I'm sure that Lot was a smart man. I'm sure that he was educated as well. He knew about Sodom. I'm sure he knew the wickedness about Sodom. He knew the reputation. But that didn't faze him at all. He thought that maybe if he could just get to that edge, if he could just find the best place for his personal belongings, if he could just find the best that he could provide for himself, that maybe it would be okay. Maybe he thought it wouldn't matter if it was kind of overlooking Sodom. Maybe he thought that it's okay if I just have, if I'm just a couple of feet away from Sodom. You know, so many times we try to get as close to sin as we can. We try to see how far we can go, how close we can get to that edge. But instead of being separated to God, all of a sudden we find ourselves drifting away from God. You see, Lot thought that it would be fine if he was just on the outside of sin. But we see that he pitched his tent toward the city. And this decision, we see, would be a fatal and grave mistake. See, decisions will have consequences, which is why it is important to seek godly and biblical counsel when you have decisions to make. Study the Bible. Ask God and make sure it is God's will for you to make that decision. Lot knew the wickedness. He knew the area, and he still decided to move there. Can I ask you this evening? How close are you going to get to sin before you realize how much you are hurting God? How close are you going to get to sin before you realize that you are loving and being close to the very thing that Christ died for you? You know, so many times we come into church Sundays, Wednesdays, and any other events when the conviction of the Holy Spirit is convicting us about a decision that we made or warning us about something that we are about to do. And day in and day out, we just live day to day like that. We live with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but we do nothing about it. In verse number 14, I want you to notice that Abram, he decided to stay exactly where he was at. verses 14 through 17, we see that Abram, you know, he had the decision to go, but he decided to stay exactly where God wanted him to be. And you know what? God blessed him for that. Can I say this evening that the best and safest place to be is in the center of God's will? You see, God has you in a place for a reason, whether it's in an area, at your home, at the church. God has you here for a specific reason. And if you're just faithful to him, faithful to the church that God has called you to be at, faithful at the job, or whatever it may be, God will bless you for faithfulness. But this decision that Lot made, Abram decided to stay exactly where God called him to be, and Lot decided to move to where he could pitch his tent toward the wicked city of Sodom. First of all, we see a decision that Lot made. We see this decision to move near the city of Sodom. But secondly, I want you to notice his downward path. Lot had a downward path. You see, after he made that decision, some events happened in his life that caused him to kind of be in the spiraling downward path. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 14. Just skip over to the next chapter. Genesis chapter 14. And verse number 12. As you're turning there, just to give you kind of a background of what's happening in this chapter, there were some kings in the east who had cities like Sodom and Gomorrah, just these small cities who were under their rule. And they just decided to attack them because of something that they had done. But basically, they attack Sodom, they take Lot and his family captive, and Abram and his servants go and chase them down, and he rescues Lot. And I find it very interesting, if you continue reading Genesis chapter 14, that Lot ends up going right back to Sodom. And you see, that's a problem, because he could have said, you know what, I shouldn't be here. God was blessing me when I was with Abram, when I was exactly where God wants him to be. But he ends up turning around and going right back to Sodom. And in verse number 12 in chapter 14, it says, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. You see, in chapter 13, he was just living on the outskirts of that wicked city, but now he is living there. That was his place. That is where he lived. And later on in chapter 19, we see that he is now having a position in the city. Genesis chapter 19, if you could just flip up there. Genesis 19, verse number 1. The Bible says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now, before we start going into chapter 19, I'm just very quickly going to explain to you what has happened in the previous chapters. In chapter 15, God makes the Abrahamic covenant to Abraham, of course, where he promises him land, seed, and blessings. And in chapter 16, we see that Abram and Sarai, they try to force God's hand and try to do their own will for that blessing to come upon them. And we understand what happens there. Ishmael is born, and following that, consequences of them trying to take the own hands and try to do God's plan. How many of you have been there before, that you've tried to do something in your own hands, and you know what? It would have just been better if you would have just let God handle it. But you know, this is a mistake and the consequences that we are even still bearing even today. But then we see in chapter 17, again, praise God that he's merciful. He continues this promise, this reiteration of a promise to Abraham. And one of my favorite verses, Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? He promises Abraham, at the time his name was changed, that he will provide a son to Abraham and Sarah. You know, nothing is too hard for the Lord. He can do the impossible, and nothing is too impossible for God. But in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1, we pick up to where Lot is at, and he is now at the gate of Sodom. He is no longer pitched towards Sodom. He's not just dwelling in Sodom. Now he is a leader in Sodom. Now he has influence. Now he has power. Now he's someone that people look up to. And it's not just that. Now he is in acceptance of the wickedness of the city. Do you notice this downward path that Lot is on? It started out with a decision, which then led to a downward path. We understand that two angels in Genesis chapter 19, they tried to get Lot and his family out because God is going to destroy this wicked city. And it says that they had to lay hands on Lot and drag him out. You see, Sodom wasn't just a city that he was just waking up in the morning and looking at. Now he had become a part of Sodom. And once he got in, he blended in with that lifestyle. He blended in with the conversation. Sodom was now a part of him. And now it was hard for him to let go of Sodom. We understand his decision. We see his downward path. But finally and sadly, let's notice his destruction. Look at what it says in Genesis chapter 19, verse number 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. His destruction starts when he was out of his way, heading out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He loses his wife because she turns around and looks back at the city like they were commanded not to. And this is what I find very interesting. As soon as he leaves Sodom and Gomorrah, you would think that, you know, maybe he's thinking he should go back to Abraham. You know what, maybe I should go back to the place where I was getting blessed. Maybe I should go back to the place where I was a prosperous, that, you know, God was blessing me. But no. You see, Sodom, this manner of conversation in Sodom had become a part of him. And instead of going back to Abraham, he goes to a city named Zoar. And again, the same thing. The city is being attacked. He's afraid for his life. And instead of going back to Abraham again, you see all these opportunities that God had given him to just go back to Abraham. He ends up going to a mountain. You see, he still desired to be a part of the world. He wasn't separated. He didn't understand that as a Christian, he is called righteous in the Bible. He was supposed to be set apart from the world. You know, I love that illustration that Pastor Mix gave a couple of weeks ago, how that the world is constantly moving this way, but at times we're just trying to be in arm's reach of the world. We don't want to let go and just walk away from the world. The world is going to get worse and worse. We shouldn't be surprised by what's going on around us. But why are we still feeling that we should be attached to the world and all of its wickedness? See, we are called to be set apart. Be ye holy, for I am holy. As we close chapter 19, we see that his story tragically comes to a close with him committing sin in the cave with his two daughters. What a story of a man who grew up with one of the patriarchs, Abraham, a man of faith. He's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Can you imagine maybe the wisdom that Abraham could have, that was teaching Lot? I mean, the stories, maybe he told Lot so many stories of how God had blessed him. Lot was blessed as well. But because he was never truly separated from the world, and that one singular decision caused him to have an ending. It could have all been avoided if maybe as soon as he made that decision, maybe as he saw Sodom, he would have said, no, I'm going in the opposite direction of Sodom. I know what's there. I know the wickedness is there. But he just decided to see how close can he get to the edge. And sadly, that's many of all stories today. You know, we walk into church on Sunday and see how close can I get to the edge. You know, maybe you're not about to make a decision that you're going to move into a sinful place or do this big sin. But you know what? Maybe it starts small. Maybe you miss your Bible reading for a couple of days. Maybe you miss that fellowship that Brother McCray was talking about today. You know, maybe there's just some priorities that get in your way of a busy schedule. But Lot made a decision to put those physical, material things first without seeking counsel, without going to God, going to Abraham and asking, where should I go? As we close, turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. We hear references of Lot after Genesis 19. There's a passage in Luke. You know, there's a passage in the Old Testament talking about the children of Lot, his descendants. But this is where we get the example, the bad example of Lot. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7. We'll start in verse number 6. 2 Peter 2, 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You know what those verses mean? Those verses mean that day after day, Lot found himself in the midst of wickedness. The verse is translated to be called filthy, just a wicked, wicked city. Lot found himself walking with them, talking with them, and agreeing with them. He was a leader in the city. He accepted that. And he had that on his mind, in his heart, every single day. He said he vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. His manner of conversation was filthy. He was separated unto the world, and it led to destruction. If we ask Lot right now, he wouldn't say, oh, if I would have made a different decision in Sodom. He probably would say, if I would have just made the right decision of where I would go, his story would have been different. We see that his story ends in destruction because of a decision just to be on the border of sin. But his story is an example for us to be separated from the world. I want to ask you this evening, what are those decisions that you are making right now? We all make decisions. I looked up that the average person will make around 10 to 20,000 decisions a day. We all make decisions. But at times, it's those small decisions that lead to huge impact or huge consequences down the world. No, we know that sin is sin. But without knowing it, we may be drifting further and further away from God. I was in a couple of years ago, back in Nigeria, before I started my freshman year at Bible college, me and my dad went to a shop to purchase just water and a couple of things. And there were some speakers outside that were blaring just some wicked music. And as we were walking out and going to the car, I had just a thought. This is the thought that I had. You know, I wasn't surprised that this is the type of music that the unsaved listens to. You know, because that's all they know. That's what it's appealing to the flesh, and that's all they know. But the thought that I had was, can you imagine some Christians who have backslid from God? That's the music, and that's the area, and that's the people that they interact with on a daily basis. That's the world that we live in. And Christians who have slipped away from God, that's the conversation and the filthiness that they surround themselves about. One thing I learned that evening was that if I'm going to have close fellowship with God, if we are going to stay close to God, it matters with the decisions that we make today. When we wake up in the morning, is God our first priority or our busy schedule? Just like this morning, what Brother McCray mentioned, this fellowship with God, that's how our joy may be full. That's the recipe for the joy. That's what we're looking for. And it's found in fellowship, close fellowship with God. Maybe this evening, we need to think about, how is my fellowship with God? What are the decisions that I'm making right now that may impact me down the road? Every decision comes with consequences. And if we are having a close fellowship with God, and if our decisions are based on the word of God, then we will find ourselves separated from the world. But it starts with making the decision now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray. And let's just have a time of prayer right now. And I want to ask you, first of all, what are the priorities in your life? What is the decision that you are making right now that's going to impact you for the rest of your life? How is your fellowship with God? maybe there are some things that have slipped away, just been put in the back burner. And it's time to put God back to number one in your life. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time in your word this evening. I pray that each and every one of us would prioritize our fellowship with you. I pray that we would set ourselves apart, that we would be different in every aspect of our lives. I pray that the world would look at us and can tell by our testimony and by the way we live that something is different about us. I pray that you would use us, strengthen us. I pray that we would be good testimonies for you. Thank you for all you've done and what you're going to continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank you.